Parashat Vayishlach. I'm sorry, Parashat Vayeshev. So the parasha begins. It says Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Kanan. Yaakov settled. Vayeshev, he settled in be'eretz megurei aviv, in his hometown. Eretz Kanan, which is really Eretz Yisrael. Right? So Yaakov finally returned to his hometown and he settled there. So Rashi points out right there, either the first or the second Rashi points out. Right, that's on the sheet as you see it. Vod Nidrash. That Vayeshev. Right, what does it mean Vayeshev? And he settled. It means Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Beshalva. Yaakov requested, he wanted to sit in serenity, in peace and serenity, relaxation. He said, you know what, Hashem, I had a difficult life. I'm going back to my retirement place, you know, bought myself a nice house, and that's it. I'm retiring. I have my pension coming in. You know, I've been through many difficulties. But I'm done. That's what the Rashi says. Hashem says. Hashem responds and he says, "I'm sorry, buddy, but no, it's not happening." What does Rashi say? Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. Right then and there, immediately afterwards, what happens? Rugzo shel Yosef, the annoyance or the complications of Yosef with the brothers, right? Yosef and the brothers, the jealousy, and they sold him, and then that really takes us through the rest of the parasha. So Yaakov requested to be in peace, and Hashem rejected that request. Hashem said no. Hashem said absolutely not, and Hashem responded with Yosef, the complications of Yosef. It almost seems that what happened with Yosef was like a direct response to Yaakov's request, right? Yaakov said, I want to live in peace, and Hashem said, no. The answer to your question is the difficulties that you're going to face with Yosef. What's the connection between specifically Yosef, the difficulties that he had to face with Yosef, and Yaakov's request to sit in peace? That's question one. Question two. The Sfarim say, actually not Sfarim, the Gemara says in Baba Batra, Daf Nun Chet, that Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu me'en Shufrei de Adam HaRishon. The appearance of Yaakov was similar to the appearance of Adam HaRishon. Right? Pretty crazy. It was similar to the appearance of Adam HaRishon. What exactly does that mean? Furthermore, Ratzalek HaKohen from Lublin writes in a sefer called Yisrael Kedoshim Perek Zayin. He writes that Yaakov Avinu was mitaken. He was the one who atoned. He fixed the chet of Adam HaRishon. Yaakov Avinu fixed the chet of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon ate from the tree of life. Right? The tree of knowledge, I'm sorry. It's a dot. Right? And that was a big mistake, and many, and we're suffering, you know, to an extent, we're suffering until today from that sin. Yaakov Avinu repaired, or he atoned for part of that sin. In what way? That's question number two. Question number three is the Gemara in Ta'anit, Daf Hei Amud Bet writes, Amar V'Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu lo met. Yaakov never died. What does it mean Yaakov never died? People die. Okay, Eliyahu never died, right? Eliyahu reappears in many places throughout the centuries. We have stories, documented stories in the Gemara, definitely. And even after that. But Yaakov Avinu never died. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? So let's begin. Those are the three questions. Again, to review. What's going on with this request of Yaakov, to his request to be in peace, and Hashem's response of bringing on Yaakov, the complications of Yosef? That's question one. Question two is, what does this mean that Yaakov and Adam HaRishon are somehow related?
The
first question was, what exactly is going on with Yaakov's request
for peace,
to live in peace and serenity, and Hashem's response to that, by bringing on the complications of Yosef and his brothers. Question two, what's going on with this relationship between Yaakov and Adam HaRishon? Yaakov, it says, on one hand it says that his appearance was like Adam HaRishon's appearance, and also he repaired the chet, the sin. He atoned for the sin of Adam HaRishon. How so? Right? Third of all, Yaakov Avinu never died. What does that mean? What does that mean? So let's start. One of the most peaceful sights in the world is the ocean. If you look at the ocean, it's an extremely peaceful sight. People always like relaxing by going to the beach. No? Hearing the sounds of the waves. Sounds of the waves. Actually, there's a Seinfeld episode, right? With any Seinfeld fans here? Yeah?
Yeah?
Thank you. Okay, so Kramer comes with a cologne that smells like the beach. Right? And he's so proud of it. Smells like the beach. Why? It's a peaceful... Okay, everyone else disagreed with him and thought it was a horrible smell. But he thought it was a very nice smell. Because the beach is a very peaceful place. Everything about it. And there's actually like therapy of listening to the waves. Listening to the waves, right? It can actually heal you. It can actually be good for your emotional well-being. And just staring at the water, it's so relaxing. However, one of the most dangerous areas in the world is also the ocean. If you think about it, it has wild fish inside, right? I'm sure you guys, I don't know if you've ever watched Shark Week on National Geographic, right? Jaws, right? pretty scary in Florida, right? It happens a lot in Florida, right? So wild fish, dangerous waves, right? You could drown. Actually, the halakha, I believe, that someone showed this to me, that Rav Avadia Yosef writes, that someone who goes to swim in the beach has to say Birkat HaGomel. The Birkat HaGomel. Like the same way you fly over water, right? And you in the place that you land, by the Torah, you say Birkat HaGomel, right? He says, why? Because it's there have been enough people that have drowned in the beach, in the ocean. That it's safe to say. That's what he says, right? And the ocean, on the other hand, has been responsible for many deaths. So on one hand, it's peaceful. On one hand, it's deadly. What does that mean? The world, truthfully, Shlomo HaMelech writes, the world is compared to an ocean. Why? Because the ocean is very tricky and very deceiving. If you were to be dropped deep into the ocean on a day where the waves are really intense, and you just want to relax and chill, you'll be dead in a matter of minutes. It'll only take you a couple of minutes until the ocean really dominates you, takes control of you, and takes your life away. The only way to survive is by swimming against the currents. Okay? You want to chill in the water? Not going to work out. The only way to survive in the water is by swimming, going against the currents. Going against the currents and keep on moving. That's how Olam Hazeh is. This world is the same concept. You enter this world, you want to be in this world, you want to chill, you want to relax, you want to take it easy. The waves of this world are going to carry you away before you know it. You're going to die spiritually if you want to chill. You will die spiritually or get harmed severely. One must be continuously in a moving motion by going forward, moving forward. Okay, so although the amount of effort and energy that you're putting, that you're expressing to move forward, you don't really see the results that compare, that are like equivalent to those efforts, right? Yeah, you know why? Because the waves going in the opposite direction are so strong that they're only allowing you to go to move forward, you know, so much. It's like being on a treadmill, right? You're running so fast, so why am I not going anywhere? Because it's going, the bottom is going in the opposite direction so fast. That's why you're not going anywhere, right? If you try running a little faster, okay, maybe you'll gain like another couple of inches on the treadmill, right? So that's how it works in Olam Hazeh. You try so hard, but the results that you see are so minor. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you're not successful? No, Chas v'Shalom. It just means that the nisyonot, that the tests that Hashem is throwing at you are so difficult. And it just means that you have to really keep up and like tread water in a way. That's the pshat when it says in the Gemara Brachot, Amar Rabbi Chiya, it's on the sheet, Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Talmidei Chachamim, En Lahem Menucha, Lo Be'olam Hazeh Ve'lo Be'olam Hazeh. Talmidei Chachamim, do not rest, do not relax. They don't chill, not in this world, not in the next world. So the next world, they don't chill. Why? Because they're busy learning the whole time. Right? So they're not chilling. They're learning. They're busy moving forward in life. They're still moving forward. They're getting closer to Hashem, closer and closer to Hashem. It's questionable. It's questionable. But that's what it means over here, that they're busy doing Ratzon Hashem, even, you know?
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means, exactly. But in this world also, en lehem menucha. A talmid chacham, a tzaddik, does not have menucha. Does not have menucha. In this world. The purpose of creation is to work. And to work, and to work. And then to work some more. There's no such thing as sitting back and relaxing in this world. The Dor HaMabul, the generation where the flood happened and which wiped out the entire generation except for Noach and his family, right? What were one of the averot that they did? They stole. Why is stealing so bad? Because you want easy money. You want money without working for it. That's why it's so bad. They wanted to chill. They wanted to relax. They just wanted to shoplift for the rest of their lives, right? That's what they wanted to do. And scam other people and not work a single day. And just have that money in their back pocket to take care of what they need to take care of without having to work for it. So what did Hashem do in response? He destroyed that whole generation with water. Why with water? Because Mayim is Menucha, Mayim is relaxing. So Hashem said to them, you want to relax? I'll give you relaxation. Mayim. As it says, Al Mei Menuchot Yinahaleni. Mei Menuchot, waters of relaxing, relaxation. We see that relaxation is associated with water. We don't need the Pasuk to prove it to us, just look at the water, it's so relaxing. So you want relaxation? You want relaxation? You really, really, really want relaxation? Hashem's going to give you the ultimate relaxation, which is death. Which is death, which is water. Esav also wanted the easy way out. That's what Esav wanted. So he came back. We all know that he came back from the field. He was tired. He saw Yaakov was making this delicious stew, right? They say it was choresht. The Persians like claiming it was choresht. The Moroccans like claiming it was dafina, right? So, obviously... You know, Ashkenazim like claiming it was chulin, right? So Esav came, he smelled it. Ah, that's delicious. Give it to me. I want it. Give it to me, right? Give it to me. I want it. Why? Why did he say that? Why did he want that? Because Esav, he worked like he wanted things for free. He didn't want to work for anything. He didn't really want to push forward. So he bought it. What else did he do? He gave away his bechorah. He gave away his rights to be the firstborn to Yaakov, right? What is the firstborn to be the firstborn? What does that entail? It entails being originally it was supposed to entail being the man or the main person in the Beit HaMikdash, doing the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, right? Reuven was really supposed to be that person until he ruined it for him, for all firstborns, right? They're firstborn. I'm sorry. it's like every pregnant woman, you know, when she's going into labor, she's probably screaming like, Chava, why did you have to do that? Because the punishment for Chava is that you're going to have, you know, pain in child labor. Chava, Adam and Eve, Chava, right? So her punishment was Adam and Chava, right? So her punishment was a painful child labor, right? So every woman she's like screaming, Chava, why'd you have to do that to me? You know, so you're saying the same thing. But the Bechorah was supposed to be the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash. What was the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash? Always running here, running there, being productive, bringing that korban, and then lighting the menorah over there, and then lechem apanim, and then this and then that. It was a very, very, very busy time, very busy life for the Kohen. Or what would have been the Bechor, right? Very, very busy running and doing and being productive and doing and doing and doing. So Esav said, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to chill. He said, take it. He said, I'm going to die anyways. I don't need that stuff. I don't need that stuff, right? So that's why it's funny, because he ate lentils, right? What's lentils? Lentils is something that we eat when you die, right? Lentils is a siman of avilut. That's why Yaakov made lentil stew. Why did he make it? Because that day Avraham Avinu passed away, and he was mourning, so he made lentil stew, right? So Esav went and he ate lentil stew. Why? Because that's death. Because being in this world without being productive is death. It's not life. You're not pushing forward. You're not moving forward. You're similar to someone who's dead. That's why it says, the Gemara says, Tzadikim, af bemitatan kurim chayim. Tzadikim, even when they are dead, they're still considered alive. Right? Why are they still considered alive? Because their legacy lives on. All the things that they've done during their lives, right? The rewards for it and the effects of their actions still live on. still live on, right? However, when it comes to Rasha'im, afilu b'chayehem k'ruim matim, even while they're alive, they're considered dead. Why? Because they're not doing it, they're not productive. They're not moving in life. You're not moving in life, you're dead. You're considered dead. A true feeling of minucha, of relaxation is what? Is when you feel have that feeling of fulfillment. That's the true minucha. When a person runs to do Ratzon Hashem, when a person is always running to do Ratzon Hashem, that's the ultimate feeling of minucha, the ultimate feeling of relaxation, right? If you would ask, you know, you'd ask, I just got off the phone with my Rebbe today, one of my Rebbeim, Rav Zucker, and I was talking to him about, you know, I don't have so much time to learn my own personal things. That's what I was talking to him about. So he said, you know, now it's the winter time, and you have very, very long nights, right? So although during the week, you know, you're still busy with other stuff, but on Friday night, there are no phones, no emails, no preparing anything, no preparing shirim. He said, it's just you. You could get lost in the sfarim that you open up. It's just you and your sfarim, right? Ah, but you're going to tell me that's annoying, it's frustrating, I have to actually exert some energy and I have to think too much and open up this sefer and get up and get that sefer and think and think and think. That's the ultimate menucha. That's the ultimate relaxation. The ultimate relaxation is to do Ratzon Hashem, to have that feeling of fulfillment. That's why on Shabbat is menucha. Shabbat is menucha, right? You're not allowed to exert too much energy. However, you're allowed to run to do mitzvot. You're not allowed to run on Shabbat. But to do mitzvot, you're allowed to. Why? Because it's not a contradiction to menucha, to true relaxation. It's not a contradiction. Yaakov's entire life was a constant struggle. From the second that he was born, right? He held on to Esav's heel. Then he ran away from Esav after Tzilul Brachot. Then he was risking death with Eliphaz, the son of Esav, on the way to Lavan. Eliphaz wanted to kill him. And then we all know what happened with him dealing with Lavan and all Lavan's nonsense. He switched his wives with him and all that stuff. And then he left Lavan and then he went to go fight with the officer of Esav. And then Dinah, his daughter, right? She was raped by Shechem. Yet, what does it say? What do we say in Mincha? So do you think he lived a life of relaxation? I don't think so. But what does it say? Ata echad mincha v'shabbat, ata echad v'shimcha echad, umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. You gave Hashem, you gave a Yom Menucha to your nation. Avraham Yagel, Yitzchak Yeranen, Yaakov Uvanav, Yanuchuvo. Yaakov Uvanav will rest in it. Yaakov and his sons will rest in it, will rest. So we see rest being associated with Yaakov. Yaakov rested. Yaakov was, he had that true resting, that true relaxation. Why? Because true Menucha is doing what Son Hashem is doing Hashem's will.
So resting is not resting.
So resting, what do you mean? If it's for the purpose of being productive, then yes. Right.
So menucha is accomplishment.
Menucha is accomplishment, exactly. True menucha. True menucha is accomplishment, is fulfillment. Right? So the koch, that's the koch of the nachash, the original snake. What happened with the original snake? He told, what did he tell Adam Rishon? Go and eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you're going to be godly. You're going to be able to figure things out. Easy, 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 easy money. Right? Easy money. Winning the lottery. We don't have to work a day. Right? That's what he told him. So that's why, what was the punishment of Adam? What was his punishment? Death. Because Hashem said to Adam, you want a life of death. You want a life of lack of fulfillment. So the punishment is, I'm going to bring death into the world because of that. Right? So that's why the Sfarim say that Yaakov was mitaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. Yaakov atoned for the sin of Adam HaRishon. Why? Because Yaakov lived the life of true emunah, of true menucha, true relaxation. What's true relaxation? Feeling fulfilled, and then every nisayon, every test that Hashem throws at you, you say, that's it, alright, I'm ready, I'm going to go, I'm going to push forward, I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to chill and sit back and relax and take a pill to get me out of my struggles, to escape my struggles. I'm not going to do that. That's why it says the appearance of Yaakov was like the appearance of Adam HaRishon, because he was brought into the world to fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. And that's why it says Yaakov Avinu lo met, he didn't die. What does it mean he didn't die? It means that he never died? No, they had a burial for him. Of course he died. What does it mean he didn't die? It means he lived a life of life. And he didn't live a life of death. That's what it means. Yaakov didn't die. He didn't die while he was alive. To die while you're alive means to chill. That's what it means. To chill means living a life of death. Yaakov Avinu lived a life, of living. And that's why it says Yaakov Avinu lomet. We now know why the three holidays are connected to the three avot. Okay? Yaakov is connected to Sukkot. So the reference to the pasuk is very easy. It's from last week's parasha. It says Yaakov nasa Sukkota. Yaakov traveled to a place called Sukkot, right? So that's a source that we know that Yaakov is connected, symbolizes the holiday of Sukkot, right? What's the deeper connection over here? What's Sukkot? Sukkot means leave your permanent house and enter your temporary house, right? Tse midirat keva, leave your permanent house, ותיכנס לדירת ארעי, and enter a dirat arai. A dirat arai means a temporary home. A temporary home. Like a sukkah that we have. It's a temporary home. What's the concept of a temporary home? It means that I'm always on the move, right? I'm not here for long. I'm going to stay here for a couple of days, then I'm going to be moving. And then moving, and then moving, and then moving. That's why Yaakov is connected to Sukkot. Yaakov is connected to Sukkot for that, exactly that reason. Because a sukkah is a dirat arai. There's no resting. There's no feeling comfortable there. You're always pushing forward, you're always running. That's why it says in the beginning of the parasha, Vayeshev, right? Vayeshev bikesh l'shev b'shalva. He wants rest in peace, he wants to sit in peace, right? So Hashem sent him Yosef. Why Yosef? Because Yosef comes from the word, what does Yosef mean? Le'osif, to add, to do more, to be more productive, to add, constantly add. The essence of who Yosef was to always push forward, was to always run. That's why Yosef was the continuation of Yaakov, as it says in the Pasuk, a lot of the Hasidic, first of Rachel, right? But we see this directly in the Pasuk, that a lot of the Hasidic Sfarim point this out. It says, Ele toldot Yaakov, Yosef. These are the offsprings of Yaakov, and then it discusses Yosef. What about everyone else? What are all the other Shvatim? No, Yosef is the continuation. He's the Hemshech of Yaakov. Why? Because he continued that avodah of true menucha, that avodah of pushing forward, of being productive, that avodah of being fulfilled. That's why his name was Yosef. Always add, that's why Yosef also went through so many struggles. Right? He always went through struggles. Always running from place to place. So what's the lesson that we could take out of here? That's why, one more thing, Yosef was called Yosef, he was the first person called a tzaddik in the Torah, right? The first person called a tzaddik by another person, Yosef. Why? Because what's a tzaddik? What's the essence of a tzaddik? The pasuk says, Sheva yipol tzaddik vekam. 7 times will a tzaddik fall and then get back up. He's always on the move. He falls, he gets up, falls, gets up, falls, gets up. And that's a connection from Yosef to Chanukah. Yosef is Yosef to add, to do more. Chanukah is what? Chanukah is, we hold like Bet Hillel. What's Bet Hillel? Bet Shammai says you start off the first night with 8 candles and then you subtract. Bet Hillel says what? The first night you start with 1 candle. Then what's Lashon of the Gemara? What does Bet Hillel say? Mosif beholech. Mosif beholech. You add and you go. You add and you go. So, come, I'm done. Come. So, that's the message of the parasha. Have a great night, everyone.